One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You are listening to the Therapy Podcast with your host, Shloimeh Balzum.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Therapy Podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about a subject which I am particularly passionate about and something which I struggle with on a daily basis, that of social media. Social media has a direct impact on our mental health. And I believe that everyone knows it. And I think that there's been more awareness of it in recent years. And yet, it's one of the hardest things to pull ourselves away from or contain or to be able to use it and make sure that it doesn't use us. So today we're going to develop a little bit of an understanding of what's actually happening when we use social media and hopefully come away with some practical ideas as to how we can live a most productive life using social media. First of all, there's the good, the bad, and the trending. There are tremendous positive impacts of mental health, of social media on our mental health. First of all, the connection that it has brought to society is tremendous. It bridges gaps. It lets people stay in touch across distances. For years, I spent time away from people I really cared about, and I was able to maintain that relationship, at least on a social media level, through that time because of this technological advancement. Anyone who tells you that there's no benefit to social media and the internet is probably taking this a little too far extreme. There are support networks, online communities that can offer validation and support for mental health struggles. There are AA meetings, literally 24/7, look it up. And anyone at any point can join an AA meeting and get that support at any hour. And that goes for various anonymous groups. And that's an incredibly valuable thing. Of course, there's education and awareness. I wouldn't be able to be doing this podcast talking to you, or all the research I did for this would have been significantly more challenging without the internet. There are platforms that spread awareness about mental health issues, offering tips, resources, and inspiration. Then, of course, there are creative outlets. There's sharing art, writing, and humor, which provides emotional releases and boosts for self-esteem, which is all, again, a fantastic positive impact that social media has on our mental health as a whole. However, if we continue the discussion, we're going to discover many negative impacts as well. And I want to at least start off this episode with the positives, because we're not axing anything. We want everything in our life to be dosed correctly so that it helps us live as best as possible. Unfortunately, social media leads us into what's called a comparison trap, where We have constant exposure to curated, perfect-looking lives, which could lead to feelings of inadequacy, envy, or low self-worth. It's literally impossible to live up to the lives that are displayed on social media. There used to be minor exposure to these sorts of things on TV and even before TV and the whole get to know you show fad. Everyone always put their best foot forward to the public eye. So everyone did experience their neighbors in a curated way, which again was impossible to live up to. You can't live your life like everyone else's superficial exposed lives. There's always stuff going on behind the curtains, and now we just have a floodgate of that, and it's much easier to curate and make your pictures look amazing. You could take a billion pictures, pick out the one that looks good, and voila, you never had bad head in your life. Social media also leads to addiction. Scrolling endlessly can disrupt sleep, productivity, and relationships. And for those who have seen the documentaries coming out about it, you know that this isn't an accident. The infinity scroll was invented so that when you get to the bottom of your screen, it keeps going. There is no bottom to TikTok and all these other platforms. I'm not picking on anyone in particular. You can literally spend the rest of your life swiping up. That's something you can do. There's no end. There's no moment where you say, should I continue? Should I go to the next one? Should I start the next episode? It's one scroll that can take your entire life. There are other issues like cyberbullying, which cannot be understated. Online harassment can harm mental health, leading to anxiety, depression, and withdrawal. With the information overload, we also have that overexposure to bad news and divisive content, which heightens stress and pessimism. There have been endless studies done to determine the effects of social media on our mental health. And they all correlate an increased rate of anxiety, depression, and loneliness with social media. There's the Facebook depression effect, which where researchers link social media with heightened risk of depression, especially amongst teens. There's the sleep disruption, where nighttime usage can often interfere with sleep patterns, which, then again, if you listen to Andrew Huberman's podcast, you will soon pick up that sleep is at the core of our mental health. If you have a bad night, your next day is going to be significantly harder. It exacerbates stress and mood disorders. And then there's just the FOMO, the constant updates of other people's lives amplify feelings of exclusion and dissatisfaction. And when it comes to our identity, platforms encourage users to construct an idealized version of themselves, which can create internal conflict between real and online self. There are two people here, and very often I would like to spend more time with my online self, my gaming self, the personification that I was able to curate without any stress or work in developing and creating that person. It's a lot easier to create an online amazing person than it is in real life, which takes a tremendous amount of investment, but that investment, of course, makes us feel good. So you don't have that feel-good component of an online self-creation. When it comes to our identity, there's also validation seeking, where dependence on likes and comments and shares that can make someone only experience self-worth and leads to external validation, endless loops. Adolescents in particular are susceptible to identity issues, and peer pressure exacerbates when spending a significant amount of time on social media. You see, there's a vicious dopamine reward cycle that happens with our phones. You pick up your phone the first time you ever get it, and if you're thinking about getting your kid a phone, push it off, even if it's one day. Every moment that you save your kids from seeing a screen, I would refer you to read the book Glow Kids. The later you can rewire your child's mind, the better. But when you pick up your phone for the very first time, the screen automatically releases more dopamine in your brain. More dopamine makes you feel happy. It makes you feel good. The problem is, as soon as that dopamine wears off, you need another fix. You'll go right back to your phone to get that dopamine increase. And while that lasts for a little bit, now you need a greater stimulus to keep your dopamine levels that high. And so the rabbit hole begins. The rate of adolescents reporting symptoms of major depression in a given year increased by 52% from 2005 to 2017. From 2009 to 2017, it grew by 63% in adults ages 18 to 25. It's only gotten worse since then, especially since the COVID pandemic and our reliance on social media for connection and our phones in general, just with the increase of boredom and seclusion, everything got worse. Studies show that at least 25% of teens view social media as having a negative effect. Everybody knows this deep in their gut. Eighth graders who spend over 10 hours on social media a week are 56% more likely to report being unhappy than those who spend less time on social media. Spending more than 3 hours on social media a day puts adolescents at a higher risk for mental health problems. 59% of United States teenagers experience cyberbullying or online harassment. 90% say that they think it's a problem that affects other people their age. 63% put it down as a major problem. Cyberbullying looks like offensive name calling, spreading false rumors, but then it gets really bad. Receiving explicit images they didn't ask for, constant asking, stalking, where they're going, who they're going to be with, someone not their parent, physical threats, or in some cases, and it's not uncommon having explicit images of them shared without their consent. It's really hard to put your phone down. A study showed that 94% of participants reported feeling troubled when they didn't have their phone. 80% were jealous when someone else used their phone. And 70% expected to feel depressed, panicked, helpless if the phone went missing or they couldn't find it. There's something called a phantom vibrate where if you don't have your phone on you, you'll still feel your pocket vibrating because your leg is so used to that sensation. It'll tell you you're getting a call or a notification without it even being there. There are many platforms stepping up to promote mental health. Instagram has an anti-bullying tool. TikTok has wellness hashtags. There are helplines and prompts. Like Facebook will link users to mental health resources when distressing content is searched. Practically, what can we do so that we're using our phone and our phone isn't using us? So, number one, set boundaries around time. You can set time limits. Use app timers like those that are built into your phone. There's Screen Time for an iPhone or Digital Wellbeing for Android. That helps cap your daily usage. When you wake up in the morning, you can tell yourself, today I want to use this amount of my phone for this amount of time. This way, later, when you find yourself entirely absorbed and sucked into your phone.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
That more conscious morning self can come back and take the reins. Commit to a specific window for scrolling. I'll give myself 30 minutes after lunch. It's a good idea to use your phone as a reward. Instead of it being the dopamine fill throughout the day, it could be I will allow myself and reward myself with using my phone and the dopamine that comes with that. If I do this and this and this today, these proactive, productive activities that I want to get done today, if I do that, then tonight I can reward myself with this extra 30 minutes of time. There should be somewhere in your life where there are no social zones. Avoid social media during meals, in bed, or within the first hour of waking up. Let your day be a day without social media. It shouldn't fill every corner of your waking hour. It's also a good idea to have a day off rule. Designate one day a week as a social media free day. The Jewish people have the Shabbat. We have a Shabbos where we have 25 hours or so where we're totally unplugged and your friends aren't offended. Everyone knows, okay? Pick your day. Sundays, I'm off social media. So if people try reaching out to you, they know Bob is off on Sunday. There's nothing to talk about and you'll get back to them afterwards. Leave me a message. And you'll be surprised how the world doesn't collapse that day. Number two, curate your feed. Don't follow everyone who tells you to follow them. Follow intentionally. Unfollow any accounts that bring you stress, envy, or frustration. Replace them with uplifting, educational, or inspiring content. There are also many platforms that allow you to mute people without unfollowing them. You could use that to avoid any toxic content. And then set a day, whether it's the first of every month, the last day of every month, review your feed and ask yourself, what does this content do for me? What is it adding to my life? If it's good, great. If it's not good, not great. If it's nothing, then see if you have that extra time to dedicate to this channel. Number three, turn off notifications. First, you could just minimize interruptions. Disable notifications for everything except for your most essential apps. If someone's trying to call you or message you, that should be able to cut through. But you shouldn't be commanded to look at your phone whenever something pops up. There's also batch notifications where you could set apps to deliver all your notifications at a specific time so you're not constantly interrupted. Whatever interval it is, whether it's every 10 minutes, every hour, or 2-3 times a day, this is when I'm going to check my messages. You know, people used to check their mail once a day. Now people are checking their mail. 99% of email users check it as much as 20 times a day. It's just a gigantic mind and time consumer. And that's for email, which is pretty innocuous. Number four, replace social media with alternatives. You can find offline hobbies, pick up a book, try cooking, journaling, learn an instrument, activities that foster creativity and mindfulness. It's a great idea to socialize in person. Replace scrolling with real world interactions like coffee dates and group activities. Interacting with a live person is becoming a lost skill. It's far more invigorating than a social media interaction, and make sure that there's some of that in your life, and it's a great idea to be able to replace some of those interactions which needn't be virtual go that extra step and meet up in person. A new thing which I've discovered is taking mindful breaks. This is where when one feels the urge to scroll and you feel like, you know, let's say your Wi-Fi is lagging and you get that little circle that's like, hold on, I'll be right with you, stay with me. So you take just 1 minute. It doesn't have to be a big break. Tell yourself, I'll be right back, fine. You know, I'll come back to you, to my dopamine feed. Just let's go for a quick walk, refocus my eyes, look at something real in the physical world. Take a few deep breaths or a 3 minute meditation. Check out the 5 minute meditation podcast. 3 minute meditation, they have 1 minute meditations, just like a quick reconnection with your mind, with yourself. And you know what, you could tell yourself, I'll go back to you if I really feel it's important after this minute. Let yourself be in control before you continue. It feels good. Even if you do end up going back, you know that like this was a conscious decision and I wasn't just being dragged up and pulled along this entire time. Now, the fifth tool is to create friction in atomic habits, like the Bible of habit building and breaking. He talks about how we do things that are easy and pleasing. So the less easy you make it to be on social media, we can't really do much to make it less pleasing. It happens to be incredibly enjoyable, but we can make it less readily accessible. So you can log out. Log out of your apps after each session. It makes it a little less tempting to jump straight back in. You can also move the apps. You can hide your social media apps in a folder or move them off of your main screen so they're jumping at you a little less obviously. And you can also use alternatives. You can access platforms only via web browsers. The experience is a little less addictive than on your phone. It's not right there in your pocket. And that way you can tell yourself, I'm still in it. I'm not giving up my friends. I'm not giving up that platform and that connection, but I'm gonna do it in a way which allows me a less of a sacrifice of self. Number six, use tools for accountability. You can use app usage monitors. They're apps like Moment, Forest, or Stay Free, which track and reduce, help you with your screen time. There's also a buddy system where you can pair up with a friend, a roommate, a relative to check in on each other's progress and to help each other cut down use. I can guarantee you there's someone else in your life who would like to cut down their screen time. Ask the next 10 people you interact with or post on your chat. Make a little poll. Who here would like to cut down on their social media, on their screen time? Guaranteed. Whether they're actually willing to sign up for it or not, there are many people in your inner circle who are in the same boat as you. Finally, there's digital detox challenges. You could participate in these challenges, like avoiding social media from 8 p.m. or go a full weekend. Challenges are a great way to feel good about doing the things that you genuinely want to do but are challenging. Number seven, shift your perspective. Mindful scrolling would mean, before opening an app, ask yourself, why am I doing this? What do I want to achieve in this app? I strongly recommend actually verbalizing, talking those words out. Why am I opening this app? What do I want to get from this? What's my plan? When your ears hear your mouth saying those words, it creates a shift in your perspective, and there's a good chance you'll choose to do something more productive or you'll spend less time because you realize, 1 second, there is actually a goal here. I wanted to see if he or she responded to me. I wanted to see what's going on with this one, that. And then after you're done with your plan, mission accomplished, there's a good chance, since you pre-planned this engagement, that you'll pull out of it. You can reflect on emotions, notice how you feel before, during, and after using social media. If it leaves you stressed or drained, then it might be a good idea to reassess your usage patterns. Gratitude practice. Each time you scroll, write down one thing you're grateful for. There's some people that love journaling, things they're grateful for, or it's a gratitude journal. Other people don't connect it as much, especially if this is your thing. Go for it. Every time you scroll, this creates a positive association and it reduces that mindless consumption. Number 8, involve family and friends. When you set group rules, you know, you agree to put phones away during meals, game nights, and other gatherings, you're not in this alone, your chances of success just went up exponentially. You can encourage accountability. Share your goal to track, to cut back on your social media with your loved ones. Ask them for support. That makes you accountable. This isn't just something you're doing yourself. If they see you, or even next time you go, you realize that I'm gonna have to talk this over with somebody afterwards. I'm gonna tell them that I did this extra hour and it's gonna be hard to face them. It could be that discomfort is discouraging enough to help you surmount this challenge. Number 9, leverage positive use. Turn social media into a tool. Use platforms to learn a new skill. Connect with like-minded individuals. Share your own creative work. Again, there's also quality over quantity. You can engage meaningfully by commenting, connecting, participating, rather than just passively scrolling through. By actually engaging, you're making use of all the positive components of social media. And like we said at the onset of this episode, there really is so much good to it, as long as we remain in control. Number 10, practice self-compassion. This is not a guilt trip. If you slip up, avoid beating yourself up. Change takes time. Give yourself that slack. And when you celebrate the wins, when you acknowledge those small victories, like cutting back 10 minutes, or choosing to scroll a little less mindfully, you have a notepad next to your phone where you wrote down some things you're grateful for as you were going through your social media, the entire experience becomes a far more positive area to engage in, and the chances of succeeding and accomplishing your goals in this arena are far better when you go into it with a positive attitude, when you're happy to be here and it's not just a miserable, I stink and I'm failing at everything. Like, this is something that I'm working on and I'm enjoying the micro steps that I'm taking towards a healthier relationship with social media, with my phone, with screen time. I hope you learned something going through this. I definitely did, and I appreciate every one of you listening. It really means the world to me, and I appreciate when you send me an email. Make use of your social media. Send me a hi. It doesn't have to be anything insightful. I just appreciate the feedback. It really means the world to me. And so far, everyone who has sent me ideas for a podcast has gotten their podcast. So if there's something that you want to be spoken about, something fleshed out, something you want to hear my take on, something on a therapeutic spectrum, feel free to email me at askmetherapy@gmail.com. I love hearing from you guys, and thank you so much. Have a great day.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.